In various states of undress down here in the haunted basement.
We're
for us now.
I don't have any change. I don't have change for a quarter.
Somebody get some change out of this.
Oh my god.
Woo! That's more than I wanted to see.
You're wearing briefs, man.
The sun is setting earlier.
A man as tall as you should be a boxer man. Oh, great.
Oh. Welcome. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am the hungover.
If you give up the juice like I did, man, I feel good on Sundays now.
I'm being stalked by my hangover.
No, there used to be a lot of Sundays I come down here, just like, ask Doug, I come down here just like, okay, let's do this show. I mean, when we went to 2 hours, it'd be like about an hour in, I'd be feeling like, okay. I got
show.
I got caffeine and food in me.
Okay.
Moving again, you know?
Then Doug did like puppet mode on you. He just moved your mouth for you.
But no, we've got a really cool show. It's going to be potpourri tonight, I guess. It'll be just like a whole mixture of all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Ghostly Talk, by the way, airs on Pioneer Radio. That's pioneer.rolo.net. We're broadcast from the Haunted Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan. Ooh. Spooky. I want to clip that out and make some kind of promo out of that.
Yeah.
And,
the only thing spooky about the basement was Will Andrade.
Yeah, that was really spooky.
A man as tall as you should be wearing boxers, you know that.
He took his clothes off and disappeared. That's how
he Will and I went out ghost hunting last night.
Yeah.
You played a show.
Yeah.
You were at the show.
Yes.
Supporting Team MFPS, right?
Woo!
TeamMFPS.com for the show schedules and stuff like that.
Ghostly
Talk. Ghostly Talk site is, of course, ghostlytalk.com. We've got all kinds of cool stuff at the website. Check it out. With that, let's get started because tell us what you planned for the show.
Well,
because it's going to be pretty cool from what I understand.
It's another one of them drawn out stories. I went to see my guitar guy on Thursday because I broke something else. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, Gordy, please fix this. I broke it again, for the fifth time. So I walked around his shop and looked at some stuff. And on my way in, I looked to my left and I saw this shop that said nothing but ESP in the window, which of course, avid celebrity in the paranormal community such as myself, you're going to look at that and go, interesting. So I went, of course, I went straight to Gordy's. His guitars are more fun. So I went in there, looked at that stuff for a minute, walked out and decided to stop in this shop. The place, the ESP stood for Essential Spiritual Products, which is a very nice play on words right there.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Walked in the shop, and wow, this place has all kinds of neat stuff, so I'm walking around there. There's a young man and a young lady behind the counter, and they're talking to another young lady, so I just decided to go shop around a little bit. And I happened to come across a very, very cool video on the Mystery of the Sphinx, so I was looking at them, and I thought originally you could buy them, so I'm like, well, I'm picking this up, I'm going to own it, right? Found some nice, very nice dragon's blood incense, the Nocturne Dragon's Blood, which you have those candles all over the place down here.
I own a couple.
Yeah, those are very, very nice fragrance. And what else did I grab? stupid motorcycles.
Those are little moped things, yeah.
So, you know, I grabbed that, and I grabbed, oh, yeah, I grabbed the focus, maybe, of this show, possibly. This excellent, excellent guide called the Encyclopedia of Afterlife Beliefs and Phenomena by James R. Lewis, with the foreword by Raymond Moody. Who was actually, author of the best-selling Life After Life.
Raymond Moody, I believe.
Yeah, Raymond Moody. Yeah. This book has it all. I've been, like, combing through this thing all weekend. It's totally cool. But I actually got to talk to these people for a while. Of course, I walk, you know, the lady leaves, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to move in. So I slap to the front counter.
Got 20% off.
So I go to the counter, and we start talking. I'm like, how long have you guys been in business here? And they're like, oh, a few months. I'm like, oh, cool. Because I haven't been to see Gordy in so long on that side of town. They just started up, so we got to talk, and they're like, well, here, sign up on our mailing list, you know, and we'll send you stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'll take you one further. So I give them my card, and they're like, oh, really neat. So we got to talking, you know, hour and a half of talking, which was excellent, because Bruce, the owner of the shop, is a very
great... Did they give you a chair?
No, I stood there.
Wow.
Do they have
an actual
website, or...?
No, they're working on it right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, what we're going to have, actually, at the end of May, Raymond's going to come in.
I'm sorry,
Bruce is going to come in.
Would be neat if Raymond Moody came in. Yeah.
Bruce, I hope they're not listening, because if I'm slaughtering this, he's going to kill me. He studies astrology,
mm-hmm.
but in a logical sense. Okay. And I actually gave him my birthday and the exact time I was born, which I found out was 6:05 a.m. on February 22nd, 75.
Now, there's a million astrologers right now, like, going through,
yeah,
looking
we're
up.
That's cool. I want to call a cross reference. Yeah. You know, he's a hothead. Imagine that.
I'm only kidding.
So we discussed all this stuff, and I asked him, like, hey, come on the show, pimp your stuff. I mean, talk about the shop. I mean, the same thing like we do with Kelly's shop also. You know, we're trying to bring these people on the show, like,
yeah.
all these businesses out, more or less. So it was really cool to come here and talk to those people.
That's one of the benefits of doing a show like this and being part of the paranormal community. Well, scratching back's okay, but no, I mean, like, getting to meet all these really, really cool people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kelly and her Enchanted Soul at EnchantedSoul.com, mm-hmm. and then the ESP folks at whatever their website will be.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and of course, while I'm plugging websites, I've got to say StagehandTools.com. There we go.
They know where to stick it.
Yeah. And, why are we beckoning?
I'm trying to get my sunglasses from Will, and he doesn't understand.
The ice cream truck is blowing right in my face.
Thanks, man.
Here's a cool thing, because... You mentioned astrology, right?
Yeah.
Well, I happened to run across this book.
Hang on. She's here. Summer is here in the Garnet Basement Studio.
It is official. Yeah.
Somebody go chase her down. Let's get her. Oh, the blue truck just blew by the window.
It's a blue one.
I
picked up this book, Predictions for a New Millennium by Noel Till.
Okay.
Right? And it's got a little chart in it. The book on the whole is really blah. Okay. But
there's a nice synopsis.
Yeah.
There's no color on it.
Now he did not.
They don't have enough pictures.
He did not write. He did not go to the same school as Konstantinos went to. So it wasn't like, oh, coming up, and oh, I previously talked about.
All right. Well,
we've already.
But
it's
karma. Turn off your mic. Don't just mention Konstantinos. So.
Konstantinos, the author.
We're not getting a word in edgewise now. Forget it. He's not talking about how much he hates Konstantinos.
He has this chart called the Geocyclical Index H.
Huh?
From January 1st, 1900 to January 1st, 2020.
Okay.
Right? And it's a chart. You can see this chart. You guys in the studio can see it. You guys can't on the internet.
Uh-huh.
But, and you'll see it's like peaks and valleys. It looks a lot like,
what are those?
Well, if it was a flat line down at zero, it would be my bank account balance.
Okay.
Right? But up here, it just goes like that, and it wiggles more like a heart monitor or something.
Yeah.
My lie detector test. And when, actually, the important part is when it dips down. And it's not how much it dips down, it's just that it dips down. When it dips down, the socioeconomic, political tensions in the world are rising.
You're my hero.
when it dips down?
When these little things go into their valleys, right, when it dips down.
Yeah.
And notice here, between 2000 and 2010, right?
It's dipping more.
It goes up for about half of it, and then it like goes straight down after half of it.
Where is the lowest point? What year? I can't see.
Well, the lowest point, that's like 1983-ish.
The Tigers won in 84, didn't they?
Yeah.
So that's probably why it turned around and started going up. Then.
Well, that's proof that the devil does exist right there. You see our Tigers now, man.
They're called the Detroit Kitty Cats.
But what happens is that halfway through 2000 and 2010, it starts another downward cycle that continues through 2010, and then upward through about 2014 or 15, and then plummets. Down toward 2020.
That's because we're not here.
Yeah. Well, maybe Ghostly Talk was off the air in 2015. I don't know. But and everybody gets all sad. So the
world crumbles.
Yeah. But what's important about this is a couple things were said before the show about 2005.
Right.
You were talking karma about 2005. You said something very interesting that was on Paranormal News.
Yes, I did.
Tell me about 2005. Now that, which is scary, because that coincides with this little chart, which is this chart graphs the distances of the arcs between the planets. This is all astrology, right? And astronomy and stuff like that. More astrology. So it's astrology, the distance between the planets, and they say that there is a correlation between when the distance is closer versus farther away, and this is a chart of the distances, okay? Mm-hmm. And when it goes down, there's more tension.
May I make one comment?
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat in regards to that, and with my discussion with Bruce at ESP.
Okay.
I do have to get their phone number and address, because we are going to pimp them on here. One thing I... see, we had like an hour...
glasses on, I believe it. Those are pimp glasses.
We had a discussion about my little incident, about the toilet handle thing.
Yeah,
and I try to keep as many details out as possible, and the guy, I'm like, Bruce, I'm really sorry, I'm born... Oh, yeah, oh, great.
I wear my nieces.
Okay, we all have our sunglasses
my
on
My niece's
now.
Sunglasses, yeah.
I did discuss this with him, and he's like, how many years hadn't you seen her? I'm like, well, about 7 years, as far as I can calculate. He's like, well, that's actually... you know, he talked about it. He's like, that's actually Saturn's, that'll be Saturn's solar orbit.
Oh, wow. Sun. Okay.
He's like, and actually, around your birth date, that would put you in Saturn's orbit also. It would kind of tie those two together loosely. He has all the details. I don't know it all really that well. So I'm actually investigating, because this is the funniest part. This shows you how obsessed I am with this whole thing. I'm actually going back as far as I can to the day I actually met this person. Which I can probably find it documented somewhere, because at the time where I met her, I was at State Fairgrounds here in Detroit, and I was doing work with the Detroit Musicians Alliance, volunteer work for the State Fairgrounds. So they probably have it documented at the State Fairgrounds of all
it
the people that were there.
Hard to find.
It wouldn't be that hard to find. So I want to see that the date that I actually bumped into her 2 weeks ago on was the date I met her. How
interesting.
That's
getting
coordinates.
Yes, geopolitical
coordinates. I'm just obsessed with a stupid idea of synchronicity. But I'm sorry.
Karma, what were you talking about 2005, which it correlates with this chart that I just happened to pick up this book, and it says, ooh, tensions are going to start to rise around 2004, 2005.
I have to apologize.
And you had read this article.
I had a story written. I took the information from Paranormal News, mm-hmm. and I did it in broadcast style, whatever, to make it
nice. They totally revamped Paranormal News. It looks sweet.
Oh, it looks awesome.
It's sweet.
Great job.
But the story is that this lady that lives in Maryland bought this house, and it's over 85 years old, and she was doing some renovation to it. Well, the owners that lived there before, they left some junk, basically,
mm-hmm.
in this room that they were going to knock a wall out. So they were moving it. Her and her husband.
We might want to cite who this came from, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is coming from Bill now.
Yeah.
Our
previous guest, one of our best friends.
He is awesome.
And you know what? He hasn't emailed me back, either. I'm getting pissed at Bill.
But he might be busy. He's authoring.
Yeah,
you know?
He might be touring around right now,
he's
too.
He's writing these articles.
This is tying into the whole, my mind went blank.
Sorry. That was my fault.
Yes, because I had it right there. Okay.
What if I tug on your ponytail? Would that do anything?
No, it just probably make me beep.
Thank you for pre-censoring.
This has to do with the whole thing with Man Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep. And
the
Philadelphia Experiment
Philadelphia,
and all that stuff.
He's basically tying it into
Man Talk.
Man Talk.
Montauk.
I'm sorry.
Is that a Freudian slip I just heard?
Oh, my God. Don't interrupt me.
Sorry. All right.
Okay.
I'll do the mic.
She buys this house, 85 years old.
Yeah, she buys this house that's over 85 years old. She's doing this renovation, and she has her husband. She has some friends over helping her move the stuff, and all of a sudden they get, like, really sick to their stomach, and they're all feeling this, and then there's this, like, green fog that starts appearing from the corner. And they're watching it, and it appears, it comes into shape of this sailor in a white sailor suit. And he sends out a warning saying, beware of 2005, they're playing with your future. I believe that was the last quote on that.
Which kind of ties in with Montauk.
Exactly, the whole sailor thing.
Well, I mean, the whole story, we went into it pretty in-depth with Bill on the show here one night. And we've actually watched the videos over and over again. I mean, you just can't. I'm sorry. You know, for the layman who, like, sits down and goes, man, this is done on a video camera. This is so unprofessional. But it isn't about that. It's all about the information that's on these four tapes, man. And,
Because, you know what? I was critiquing the video.
I know. She's sitting there like, oh, jeez. He's so off-center of the frame.
Because you graduated from... video production school,
video production, and it's just if I wouldn't have went to school, I wouldn't have known crap about it. I'm like, oh, this is great, you know?
The content is fascinating.
But they get into this big topic, spawning off of the Philadelphia Experiment. If you've ever read into the Philadelphia Experiment, what happened during the Philadelphia Experiment, according to Preston Nichols and Duncan Cameron, and Al Balick too, that was an episode of time travel for those gentlemen. That's what they took that experiment over to Montauk, and that's where they started doing these time travel experiments. So that's why Bill Nell's talking about it, basically, because he thinks it ties in, which I have to agree.
Yeah, especially with the what's the chances of a sailor.
Right, a sailor.
And they did research on the family to see if anybody was a sailor, and it wasn't. And the type of sailor suit would, like, the style of it was back from the 50s or the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing further research into it.
So it could be somebody who had phased out or whatever during these experiments.
It could have been one of the people on the Eldridge himself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all speculation, obviously, but it could have been one of the sailors that did kind of fizzle away in time.
And he issued a warning about 2005.
Yes, he did.
And that coincides with this little chart in this otherwise relatively bland book by Noel Till.
2005.
That's less than a year away. Yeah, that's next year. So, pretty scary.
Something to think about, at least. But, you know, it's a warning right now to everybody. Everybody should just be cool.
But the thing,
be cool.
Also,
yeah, right now we're at the peak, so everyone should be pretty much happy.
I am.
Yeah,
also,
I know I am.
Add to that, in the story, I believe, because Bill Nell wrote the article. I believe he did.
Bill Nell wrote the article.
And he did say, make some correlation, what if this has to do with the bio, you know, terrorism, or, you know, with us being poisoned? What if this is a starting phase of it?
I don't think it helps.
Well, the one question that I have is, like, you know, I couldn't believe when I looked at this chart, another thing that I thought of, because I've been thinking about it quite a lot, mm-hmm. is the prediction by Nostradamus of, you know, the...
He's the man.
Is this for 2005?
This was for Greece, and he had talked about the false dust in Greece.
The false dust?
In Greece. Yeah, I wrote a journal entry about it. I wrote an article about it.
Talking about cocaine, aren't they?
Well, no, false dust is more... They had originally interpreted it as being some kind of atomic bomb, you know, because false dust, you get the white powder.
Wait. Isn't the Olympics...
That's what I wrote my journal article about.
I haven't seen your journal, but now that you had said that, I'm like, oh, the Olympics.
The Olympics are coming up in August.
In Greece.
Of this year. So it's toward the end of this year. And then I looked at, you know, saw this chart, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it looks like, you know, starting this year or next year, tensions are going to rise based on this astrological data, or astronomical data.
astrological data.
See, now you're right with me.
I can't even pronounce it. But based on this, tensions are going to start to rise this year, you know, at the end of this year or next year, and because these distances of the planets get closer together. So, and then you said about 2005, they're messing with the future.
Doug, something is definitely going on, because if you look at some of the UFO sites, there are more and more and more.
I know you really get into those, don't you?
You know what?
I have been checking.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I know what you're going to say about the feedback on that.
No.
Okay. But no, there have been more and more and more UFO sightings, and they're coming like daytime.
Uh-huh.
They're coming like in masses.
I went by MUFON.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You went by?
Well, I stopped there, actually.
You drove to the little... with the
right over there on... It'd be Cass and Gross.
Cass and Gross. And remember, I had sent you... I sent you a detour.
Well,
and
you know what the funniest part is? My roommate, Fat Jesus.
Yeah.
His drummer. His drummer. We call him the dentist because he's a dentist. Dr. Dave, the dentist.
Okay.
His dentist office is... Yeah.
That's my dentist.
That's Dr. Dave, yeah.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God! No, but yeah, Dr. Dave. Dr. Dave, that's Timmy's drummer. That's the drummer.
Get out.
Yeah.
I don't picture him as a...
I know where he lives if you want to go there and stalk him.
The coincidences mount.
No, Dr. Dave's office is like two doors down from there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I stopped by there.
Don't call me, I owe him money.
Oh, do you?
A little bit. I think it's like $20.
He's awesome. No, Dr. Dave rules. He's so funny. He does good work. And he loves to prescribe drugs, too. we'll leave it at that. Two doors down is the MUFON building.
Okay, yeah, in the Marquardt upholstery.
I went there and they were closed. I'm like,
they're almost always closed.
Yeah.
I was just watching Unsolved Mysteries, or what comes out at Sundays? In Search, that's it.
Oh, it could be any of those, because they show all those.
King of the Hill.
Unexplained.
I'm sorry.
You don't watch TV. Leave us alone.
Unexplained Mysteries?
Unexplained, no.
It's something.
There's an Unsolved Mystery.
No, it's not Unsolved. That's about crimes and stuff, right?
Right. Well, sometimes they do some paranormal
things.
Well,
anyways, this is one. I seen it today. Me and my mom watch it every morning. It comes on at 10 o'clock, and it was about UFOs, and they brought up the MUFON in Florida. And the project that the government had, the Blue Book.
Oh, Project Blue Book, yeah.
Project Blue Book, how that they're releasing information from that. And
yeah, but when you get it, it's almost all blacked out. But yeah.
No, this one instance, this one thing that had happened with this, where a police officer had witnessed it, and it was also tracked on the radar, they normally disclose it as, like, whatever, they put it like, nonsense, or however they do it, where
right.
It doesn't, like, it turned out to be nothing. The one, it said unidentified.
Oh, really?
They didn't acknowledge it.
So they classified something as being unexplainable or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So they did acknowledge it as that. And this is happening, it's still happening a lot. It's in Florida.
Clearwater?
Gulf Breeze.
Oh, Gulf Breeze. That's it.
Thank you. Yes.
Gulf Breeze.
Yes. So I wonder if, like, this ties in with, like, with everything. Why?
I don't know. All I know is it's going to be an exciting, 18 or so months coming up.
Well, there's another big thing, too, speaking of UFOs, namely Mars. Richard C. Hoagland was on Coast to Coast this week. We'll pimp Coast to Coast for a minute. Because, you know, I have to say, this is one of the best weeks of Coast to Coast I have heard in years.
Did you happen to hear the roundtable discussion?
Oh, my God,
between
yes.
Linda Moulton Howe and...
Alex Jones was on there.
Alex Jones and some other
names,
people.
Yeah. I heard it. this was one of the best weeks they've had. They actually... namely, Richard C. Hoagland was on Coast to Coast, I believe, Thursday night. Well, that'd be Friday morning for our time here. And they actually just finished a big convention down in Washington, D.C., where they actually went to Congress and said, look, we know there's more to Mars than you're laying on to us. We want this information released. And from what Richard C. Hoagland's been saying is that, well... They're starting to bend a little bit, and there's more to it than they've been letting on as far as pictures go. Now I know there's mixed opinions on the face as far as the face on Mars goes. We've all seen the picture. Now that's actually pretty funny because this video that I rented from ESP this weekend, they talk about the face on Mars as
you
a release.
You can rent videos from ESP.
Yeah, they have all types of videos there you can rent.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought they could buy them, but they said you can rent them, so I just rented them.
Oh, that's really
$2,
cool.
$2, you know, a couple days, whatever. But on this particular video, the mystery of the Sphinx.
They should look into getting the Bill Nell series.
Oh, yeah, totally.
yeah.
But they there's a presentation from Richard C. Hoagland. Actually, this is like about 20 years ago. But he goes through the, how do you say, the similarities of mm-hmm. the face on Mars as opposed to the Sphinx. Now, this is reaching a bit, but he showed the actual picture, okay, of the best photo they have, you know, from the Voyager. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Voyager. Yeah,
right.
That went out there. That was 75. So yeah, it was the Voyager. So they took the picture, knocked it high res, and then what they did is they took the first half on the right and peeled it over to the left. And what it made was more of a humanoid face. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the actual face on Mars, it's kind of tilted, it seems, where you can see the right side of the face. Well, actually, that'd be your left side if you're looking down on it. The left side, there's an eyeball, and then there's like the mouth, mm-hmm. and then there's an actual hairline. And on the other side, you can kind of see the hairline, but it seems to get darker, right? So when they pull the picture over, right, it makes this humanoid face. And I'm thinking, okay, he's reaching a little bit. This is reaching a little bit, if you ask me. But then they went to the other side of the picture and peeled it over and split it the other way. And you know what it was?
What?
It looked just like a lion. It looked
really?
Just like a lion. Now, I still want to stick with my previous point that I think he's reaching a bit, but this thing looks just like a lion. And what Richard C. Hoagland theorizes is that face on Mars and our Sphinx here on the planet are tied together in some way or another. Because I'll argue this to the day I die. The Sphinx on our planet, the Sphinx here in Egypt, the great Sphinx of Egypt, the great mm-hmm. Giza Plateau.
I like that word, Sphinx.
Sphinx. Like, you know what? You're just like Timmy. I try to talk. Yeah, it's Sphinx.
He said Sphinx.
But if you look at the great Sphinx, and you look at the body of the lion body, and you look at the head, they are completely out of proportion. If you look at any other Sphinx...
like an alien.
But if you look at any other piece of art in Egypt...
Sorry. No, that was awesome. Okay, if you look at any other what?
No, if you look at... if you do, I mean, anybody who looks at it can tell that the head's completely out of proportion with the body. If you look at any other artwork that was done in Egypt at the time... They're totally in proportion, whether it's a man's face, a lion's face.
They look a little fat in the ass. I'm out of proportion. Sorry. Tell your story.
Yeah.
How about if we just go to break?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to break.
Okay.
I wanted to break last Sunday when you wanted to work through break.
Well, no.
Where's the union steward?
The point about that, though, they were talking, this week, though, on Coast to Coast, they talked to George Norrie.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Richard C. Hoagland, and they went very much in the depth about a lot of things that are happening here. And Richard C. Hoagland, I mean, he is the authority on this. He's the guy that's always out there trying to get new information, and he's also trying to sell stuff, but we'll talk about that later.
Can I bring one quick thing up before
sure.
we go to break?
Yeah.
That'll cause some, like, probably a little drama in the chat room.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The Aaron Donahue archive got replayed on Pioneer. Phobos played it, and it was on Friday night.
Oh, my gosh.
You might have closer than you.
Do you know what, when I logged in, I was listening to it, what part it was? It was the Christians blowing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And Phobos replayed that on Pioneer.
Yeah, it was playing as an archive. Yes.
Wow, okay.
Pioneer, paranormal radio, that's the first thing you hear.
The cutting edge.
Jesus!
The cutting edge of paranormal
radio. And then
radio,
after that,
yeah.
There was nothing else on.
Oh, no, nothing else
it
on?
Was...
Really?
There.
Phobos fell asleep. Yeah.
But pay attention to the face on Mars, though. That's something that Richard C. Hoagland says we need to pay attention to.
We're going
to
come back. We're going to play a trivia game.
Yeah.
Kind of. That sound fun. Well, kind of a trivia game. We're going to jazz it up a bit. It's going to have a
Are
lot of fun.
Are we
going to
have prizes?
Good question.
Yeah, lap dances.
Let's have a prize.
Lap dances.
Let's take a break here. I think we covered about 2 hours worth of show in
yeah.
half an hour. So.
We'll be right back. We're going to play some cool stuff and hopefully talk about some more potpourri of paranormal
we'll
after
go
this.
Go get a beer.
Yes, go get a beer. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Ghostly talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens?
Responsibility is usually holding the truth back. trying to bring it back out to people and let them see
these
things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken Dialing.
Oh.
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 In the house.
Oh. There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
seat. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, dummy.
Thank you.
all I have to say is Rich Ward of Stuck Mojo has the meanest Marshall sound I've ever heard in my life. If you're listening to that bumper right there, that has got to be the heaviest Marshall sound I've ever heard in my life.
And before that was a band that you played with.
Yeah,
yeah.
A band called A Murder of Crows out of Flint, Michigan, actually.
Well, he didn't play with them. They performed with them.
Yeah, we you know, it's all about
you weren't on the playground.
It's
like,
about performance, man. It's about getting it out, man. You know, actually, go to murdercrow.com. Check those guys out. They're a really, really, really good band. Really cool guys. And I picked their CD up last night, and I had to throw that into the playlist this week.
I didn't get to plug my website.
What? What website?
You guys didn't know I have a website?
No, I had no clue.
It's ChristyPorns.com. You guys are speechless. I love it. No, I don't have a... I'm joking. See, you never know what to expect, because you're looking at me like, she probably does.
I was thinking, okay, that's a new avenue.
No, I do not. I do not have a porn.
You don't have a porn site.
Oh, no, good.
Down, boys. No.
If I saw you naked, I'd never be able to look at you the same again. You know that. I'd be like...
I see myself naked. I don't look at myself.
I try not to look at myself when I'm naked. It's just
I avoid all mirrors. Yeah.
I'm like turning into my dad every morning I get up. More and more hair on my back, my nose, my ears.
Your hair that you have to braid.
It's getting so bad.
I'm going to need a stomach jack in a minute.
All right, well, let's do this.
A stomach pump.
How about a penile pump?
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And we are going to do some interesting, cool stuff. Hopefully it'll be a fun format. I don't know.
Well, that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. So
yeah, we tried. Before we got off into like 87 billion other things, you tried to talk about this book that you picked up, the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to...
We got this new little tool down here in the basement.
Okay? You said tool.
Tool.
if you take one more word out of this day, I'm going to crush your skull and throw it out the door.
I'm not getting violent. But the word of the day is pimp.
Oh, yeah, I have been using that word a lot. I've been using the word pimp a lot. But not as in, like, I'm a pimp, y'all. I've been using more as a pimp your stuff, pimp this, pimp that. So apparently that's
pimp me. I need some money.
I'm trying to keep up on this contemporary lingo, and I guess it's me trying to keep getting that little bit of soul in me. I need
Young whippersnappers.
You gotta get
move
that soul.
Too quickly.
You gotta get jive.
But we did. We got this cool new
it's a new
feature.
Yeah.
It's
great. And we're not responsible if you go to the casino after this.
You take a book, though, right? It takes the book and rips it into shreds, right? And what it does is it reassembles it in pages, and then randomly it'll take a page and just put, when you just push the button, it'll randomly pop a page out and you can read it, right? So I said, hey, let's try using this on the show, right? So we're going to give this a shot, ready? Well, you're going to spin it, ready? I threw the book in there before the show and I grinded it up real good, so we're going to try and see what happens with it now this time, okay? Give it a shot. Well, let's see what happens. I don't know where the clapping came from, but...
This is
our audience outside, yeah.
Can I be Vanna?
Okay, you can be Vanna.
Okay, what are we landing on? What are we landing on here?
What?
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, so it's something out. All right, let's see what we got.
Okay.
Let's see what we got.
This is interesting.
Okay.
As in everything in this book, right?
All things it could have landed on.
And
it landed on that.
Awesome. Here we go.
What are the odds, right? What are the odds?
It's fate.
It's so fate.
Let's see what it said.
Under the eyes, because this is the encyclopedia, right?
Okay.
Under the eyes, International Association for Conscious Dying.
Ooh.
Check this out.
Okay.
The International Association for Conscious Dying was founded by Benito F. Reyes, 1914 to 1992. In 1990, in Ojai, California. Pretty sure that's how it's pronounced. In observance of the 16th anniversary, the foundation of the World Anniversary of America. Whatever, they just used that for some type of wind address. But its main activity is conducting a series of seminars dealing with the techniques and implications of conscious dying, near-death experiences, conscious out-of-body experiences, past-life therapy, and human immortality. According to Reyes, the general objectives of conscious dying conferences and workshops are to help liberate the human mind from ignorance and fear produced by the erroneous psychological interpretation of life and death, reducing everything to physical explanations, including apparently spiritual phenomena. by creating a non-physicalistic way of understanding those events to help develop a way of dying with dignity and wisdom, and to focus on the worldwide problem of AIDS, for example, as a unique opportunity for understanding conscious dying. The seminars are taken mainly by medical and healthcare professionals and educators. So this is something that Benito Reyes put together. This book, you see this book, we grind it up. It just has all these cool bits of information, you know, that you know, when you're out there just trying to find out, you know, what's going on in the afterlife, there's all these new things that have happened in the past or that are going on right now or certain ideas. That's what this book's all made up of.
Well, I... Oh, go ahead.
Dying with dignity would be not on the toilet.
Yes, Elvis did not die with dignity.
No, he did not.
No. But, I've learned, that taught me, except for, you know what?
Huh.
If I picked up a Phenomena News,
yeah,
and I saw a seminar coming up by that organization, I probably wouldn't go.
I don't know if I'd go either.
Yeah.
too exciting, but
yeah.
It's still interesting. That it's something
but
cool
it is enough. Interesting to know that people are out there doing that. That's fascinating.
Hey, well, this happened actually 14 years ago.
Pat, can we spin the wheel again?
Oh, yeah, let's spin the wheel again, see what happens.
Let's see what happens this time. Okay.
What do we got?
See what it spits out here. Ooh, engram.
Engram. Okay.
What could an engram?
I think it's stuck in the vowels. We have the I, and now we have the E.
I gotta set the vowel only.
Can I buy an S?
Let's see what it's
spelled. Yeah. You gotta toggle it over to consonants also, okay?
Yeah.
Engram.
E-N-G-R-A-M. Engram.
Engram.
That's the N of a gram.
The N. And
you gotta go look for more.
What do we got? Tell us what it says about engram.
Engram is a Dianetics term referring to the unconscious.
Oh, you can just stop now. I don't need to hear it. If it's a Dianetics term, I don't want to know.
Okay, spin it again.
That's in case you're unfamiliar with that.
I am.
That's the L. Ron Hubbard, you know, that kind of stuff. So. Is that it?
It's stuck, hang on.
Do you know, it needs a ka-ching or something so that we know whether... Good.
It got stuck.
Good.
Thank you, Will.
All right, what did it come out this time? Oh, no.
No, I
can't wait.
That's the wrong book. All right.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is Mickey Mouse book.
Horse what? Oh, no.
No, it's how to make your own.
It pulled out under the P's this time.
Okay.
Pantomnesia.
Okay. All right, let's give it a try. Let's see what it is.
Pantomnesia is the experience of the unfamiliar as familiar, such as feeling upon entering a new place that one has been there before. It is an alternative term. Shut up. It is eternal. It is an alternative.
We didn't spin the wheel on that one.
It is an alternative term for much more commonly used deja vu. That's why I said shut up. I'm trying to get to it.
Okay.
The French expression déjà vu literally means already seen.
That's a booby bar, too.
And
yes, it is.
Topless and bottomless, thank you. And therefore, properly refers specifically to visual experiences. It has extended by popular usage, however, to cover other experiences, dreams, thoughts, statements, emotions, meetings, sounds, conversations, and so forth. Pantomnesia, on the other hand, is a term with Greek roots meaning all, or universal, and mind or memory. Okay, that's the amnesia part, obviously. And hence, is technically a better general term. For a more extended discussion of this phenomena, refer to entry déjà vu, which is, you know, that's the page here, but we can go back to that if we want. Okay, so that's something interesting to think about. I mean, that's a newer term, actually.
And it's more encompassing.
It's more broad.
Can you say the term again?
Pantomnesia.
Pantomnesia. I'll probably forget that in 15 minutes.
Me? I already forgot it.
No, I'll always remember it.
See, there you go. Dr. Scott strikes again.
That
actually brings up an interesting point, because, yeah, I know there's certain, I know probably everybody sitting down here has experienced that, too, that it isn't everything visually that we see. I know there's certain, I know in dreams I have, like, I've been to certain places. I have that deja vu feeling when I walk into a room. But it isn't always like I walk into a room and go, I've been here before. It's the angle sometimes where I'm sitting at that I remember
right.
in my
something
dreams.
Something you're doing.
Like, say I was looking up at the ceiling. Like, say I walked into down here, for example, and I'm like, okay, this room doesn't, regular room, you know, just, you know, the Semic house, you know, it's cool. And I sit down and I kind of like kick my head back because I want to relax. And then I look up and go, okay, now this is kind of, I've done this before.
I've had the same, that same thing happen where it wasn't the room that I was in. It wasn't the house I was in. It was when I actually sat down and grabbed my shoe to tie it, and then I had deja vu. It's like something that sparks it.
Yeah.
I've had similar things in conversations. Like, I'll be talking with people, you know, blah, blah, blah. It could be anywhere, any place, any time. It doesn't matter where or whatever. And the conversation will just, something will trigger and say, I've had this conversation before. This has been done, or I recognize this. So it's more of a situation.
Yeah, it could be. Well, that's a
than
sound.
A place.
You know, that sound.
And the sounds and the situation and the people. It just sort of hits me, and I guess it's pantomnesia.
Yeah.
Not deja vu.
We're talking about deja vu. I won't mention the religion, but their insight on deja vu, which has been the best explanation of it that I've heard, is that when you fall asleep and you start to dream, two angels fly your spirit up to God, and he presents you with something of the future that's going to happen to kind of give you guidance. And then on the way back down to your body, you dream and you forget about it. So then when it happens, it sparks like, oh, yeah, I've seen it before, because it's been projected to you from God.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes,
what an interesting viewpoint.
That's a very neat.
We're gonna probably take some more hits for that because we mentioned the word God again, but that's okay. No, we've actually had some emails.
The man.
It's funny that I brought that up. But no, we've had some emails and we've had some comments, which I think are just absolutely hysterical. People thinking that this show is actually becoming a very one-sided show, that we're leaning more towards religion, and I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Did you hear what?
Oh,
did you see what I replied to it?
Well, we have that. That's just one. There's a bunch more we've received.
Why? Because of my rant?
Did you see?
Oh my gosh! I love
that. But did you see what I commented to?
Yeah, there's a lot more than that though. There isn't one. There's plenty.
I responded to it because he said, "The certain person said, I'm surprised you guys don't pray before whatever your show."
Well, hey, let's have a prayer right now.
And you know what I said? I was going to say we, but I didn't want to speak for everybody because I didn't want you guys to get mad at me for saying something, saying we. So I said, yeah, I do. I do pray that we don't, that I don't encounter, what was it? That we don't encounter potty mouth, pushy people.
You can read it on the site. Just go to the website, go to the message board, and you can read it.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, but that's what I wrote.
There's been tons of emails that have come in.
I've been out of it. I need to check my email. As a matter of fact, it's probably bouncing by now because I haven't checked it in about a week and a half.
And I do want to say that I do have a closed head injury. I think we have a sample of that. I have short-term memory loss. So there.
Let's see what else our new little gizmo can pop up. Do you want to?
Yeah, give it
cool.
a shot.
Let's see what happens.
It sounds like they need to oil that thing up a little bit.
It sort of slows down slower now, yeah.
What do we have?
Let's see what we got.
I feel like I'm on one of those like bad 80s kids cartoon shows, you know, educational. Let's see what we have here. Soulmate.
Soulmate.
The term soulmate.
Wow, okay.
Hi, Phobos. No, I wasn't saying it because of that.
Okay.
I see him in the chat room.
Yes, he is in the chat room.
All right. I got a feeling we're going to do the rest of the show on this one.
Soulmate.
The notion of a soulmate, another person who is one's ideal partner and with whom one has pre-existing spiritual bond, is a distinct contemporary Western notion shaped by Western Romanticism. So it's a Western.
I agree.
The soulmate idea, in other words, is part of no traditional religion, but it is a new idea that arose from the West's occult metaphysical subculture. And was adopted by that subculture's offspring. The New Age movement...
This is the New Age?
Yeah, it's the New Age movement. That's who's...
There's always a new age movement.
As in,
I think the idea of a soulmate happened before the new age movement.
Well, they're the ones that are kind of propelling it.
No, that could be, but
promoting it.
Okay.
There's a soulmate out there for you, guy or girl.
Mine's probably a girl, and I haven't found her yet.
The soulmate.
Mine's probably dead.
Oh no!
I killed mine.
Michael Jackson is specifically looking in the under 8 range.
That's for pre-show stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right,
okay.
Go ahead, tell a joke.
Okay,
go ahead, Karma, go ahead. We gotta get it over.
Okay,
here.
How do you know that Michael Jackson has a guest over?
How do you know?
There's a big wheel parked in the park in the driveway.
Oh no!
Let me move
big
on.
Big wheel parked in the driveway.
Okay, enough of that.
The soulmate idea became particularly popular in the 70s and 80s. Part of the notion to the idea that one usually seeks one soulmate across many reincarnations. Beyond these basics, there are many variations in the soulmate idea. Some conceptualizations of soulmates postulate that they are two halves of one soul. Yay. That have been split apart to speed up the process of spiritual evolution by taking in earth plane experiences twice as fast. That makes kind of cool idea.
Oh, I like that. I've never heard that idea, and I really like that idea.
From this perspective, finding one's soulmate is quite literally finding one's other half. Although in some ways a significantly different idea, a similar notion is advanced in Plato's Symposium. In the distant past, according to this scenario, humanity was composed of self-sufficient beings who had two heads, four arms, and four legs.
Aliens again.
Humanity had the audacity to challenge the gods. However, and as punishment, the people were severed in half. Thenceforth, rather than seeking to overthrow the gods, humanity was preoccupied with their pursuits of love and sex, caused by the craving to reunite with one's other half. This story may have shaped the notion of soulmates. So basically what they're saying is that the whole basis of desire and lust and love is that we're trying to find two more arms and two more legs.
Well, thanks, guys, because I'm having a hard time finding my soulmate.
Well, I have to say I don't believe in the idea of a soulmate.
It's pretty insane. I don't believe in the idea of it either.
But they...
I believe in the idea of getting married and hating the person 20 years later. I mean, that's pretty probable. I mean, most homes you go to are like that nowadays.
But
so.
I think it's a romantic notion. I think it's really romantic.
It's an interesting
idea. Yeah, I think soulmates are you know, it's
when
really
I hear that term,
nice.
When I hear that term, though, it really gets my nerves.
Sick.
Yeah, it makes me sick, too.
Because, I have these girlfriends who are like, oh, he's my soulmate. And then, like a week later,
yeah.
He cheated on me.
And, oh, yeah. Or he gets you pregnant. And then, oh, yeah, what is he then? Now
he's
a sperm donor.
Yeah.
No. He's paying child support.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're on Ricky Lake.
And
then
checkbook.
Yeah.
And then they're on Ricky Lake.
They're on Jerry
Springer
show.
DNA testing. Yeah. All
right,
enough soulmates. I don't want
to... prevail.
You know what? And I know there's a band, I found this out, because I used to say, forget soulmate, it's soul hate.
Oh,
and
my
gosh. I just find out that there was a band called Soul Hate.
Soul
Am
Hate?
Am I right?
I don't. Honestly, that's one band I don't know. It's a clever
wow.
name, though.
It
yeah.
is. Very clever.
Clever name.
I'm going to steal the name.
Because, you know what? I was writing a poem. It was like when I was really PO'd at some guys, as usual. And I wrote, I was trying to find a soulmate, but all I found was more hate. I thought that was pretty clever.
Wow.
That was.
You
great.
Were really in a mood that time you were writing that poem.
Yes.
Yike. Are we going on to another topic?
Come on, that's the idea.
Okay.
Let's do another one.
So, I know, so and I understand why you're reading the book. Because I would chop it off.
I should have Doug reading the book, actually. He's the one that can, like, read stuff like this.
Well, I can say... let me take this page.
All right.